Now more with Frank Gaffney.
We're back. I am very pleased to say, joined by another very important and I think rising star in the United States Congress. He is Congressman Lee Zeldin. He represents the people of the 1st District of New York out on Long Island. He serves on the Foreign Affairs Committee, also the Veterans Affairs and Transportation and Infrastructure Committees. He is the co-chairman of the House Republican Israel Caucus. And as important as all of that, he served for 4 distinguished years in the United States Army as a military intelligence officer associated with the elite 82nd Airborne Division. In the course of his service, he deployed to Iraq as part of Operation Iraqi Freedom. Congressman Zeldin, welcome back, sir. It is so good to have you. Thanks for taking the time.
Yeah, happy to be on with you again, Frank.
Let's talk about several of the things, if we can, quickly, sort of lightning round, Lee, because there's so much to discuss that I know you've been involved in. We've been talking just now with Adam Credo of the Washington Free Beacon about the Iran deal. You have been among the most thoughtful and informed and I think influential critics of that deal in the United States Congress. Give us a flavor of how this is working out as you see it. Adam's reporting now, as you may know, that the Iranians are back for more billions because they've taken hostage a few more Americans. I'm sure you're not surprised at that, but where are we with this deal and the seeming further concessions the administration is prepared to make to further it?
Well, for one, I don't even view it as a deal or an agreement. It is an unsigned, and as John Kerry has referred to it, a political commitment. The State Department says it's not a treaty. They say it's not an executive agreement. They call it a political commitment, and it's one that they didn't even secure a signature from the Iranians on. Disagreements between the United States and Iran on material terms of the agreement, like where we said sanctions relief would be phased in over time based on compliance. The Iranians said sanctions relief was going to be immediate, no suspension. When we said we would inspect, the United States said that we would be able to inspect military sites before, during, and after the negotiation, the Iranians said you'll never be able to inspect our material sites. Also, a lot that wasn't agreed to be added to the JCPOA is included in the secret side deals, which still haven't been public, still haven't been released to Congress. However, some of the contents have been, like Iran collecting some of their own soil samples and inspecting some of their own nuclear sites. And that's also regardless of the fact that Iranians can't help themselves but to cheat. And the way this agreement is worded, it is a pathway. It's a blueprint for how Iran gets a nuclear weapon at the end of this deal, as well as all the money that they are getting now. So that's a little bit of a really important pretext for the left that likes to just further the narrative of their White House taxpayer-funded fiction writer, Ben Rhodes, in trying to sell this as a great deal that is working. What's most important for the next administration is to have leverage restored, because we negotiated away the leverage that brought the Iranians to the table, the leverage that was working. We have been propping up the wrong regime in Iran, and we need to renew the Iran Sanctions Act, which is scheduled to phase out by the end of this year. So if you ask me what was the most important thing for us to do immediately, I would say at the very least, we need to renew the Iran Sanctions Act. I would support strengthening it, but I also don't want that position to be misinterpreted as saying that I would vote against, at the very least, extending it. We need that leverage to deal with all of Iran's other bad activities.
Let me turn to 2 other issues quickly, if I may, with you, Congressman. One is, at the same time that we are, propping up that very dangerous regime and otherwise enabling and emboldening its bad behavior, we are, I'm told, going to undermine our real ally in the region, as you've pointed out so clearly, Israel. Come the post-election period, the president evidently is going to use the UN for that purpose. Talk about what's at stake there, if you would, sir.
Well, we are in many different ways undercutting Israel when innocent Israelis get murdered by Palestinian terrorists and the State Department puts out a statement accusing both sides of terror. We are undermining Israel when the president gives a speech at, and I was honored to be part of the presidential delegation trip to Israel just a few weeks back for Shimon Peres's funeral, the last founding father of Israel. But a correction to the transcript was put out where it said Jerusalem, comma, Israel. The correction then puts a small line through Israel, where, I mean, at the very least, gosh, you could have just taken out the comma Israel, but it's like they go just one step further just to make it that much more difficult. The Iran nuclear agreement and the money that is going towards Iran with the financing that is given to Hamas, Hezbollah, Assad in Syria, overthrowing foreign governments in the region, financing terror. But Iran is pledging to wipe Israel off the map, calling them the little Satan. We get called the great Satan. They call Israel the little Satan. So the Iran nuclear deal and all that sanctions relief is undermining Israel as well. So everything from rhetoric that comes from the State Department to literally handing over tens of billions of dollars to the Iranians and getting into the not just destabilizing Israel and harming ourselves here in the U.S., but other allies, is now getting into the practice of putting a price on for ransom payments on hostages being unjustly imprisoned in Iran. So much of U.S. foreign policy is undercutting our own national security interests. It's harming our allies, certainly not least of which, probably the greatest, would be what I believe to be our nation's greatest ally, Israel.
You know, the point is well taken, Congressman Lee Zeldin. And if, in fact, the president winds up going to the United Nations and essentially trying to get it to recognize a Palestinian state without negotiations with Israel and over Israel's adamant opposition, it will, I'm afraid, really further intensify the threats that our friends in Israel are facing. Let me turn to one last thing, if I could, with you, Congressman Lee Zeldin. You have expressed a considerable concern, as have I, about this internet giveaway. You're an intelligence officer by training in the United States military. You've given a lot of thought to cyber warfare and the threats we're facing, among other things, to our critical infrastructure like the grid, a subject that you're familiar with, of course, through your Transportation and Infrastructure Subcommittee responsibilities. But what was that about? And what do you think is likely to happen now that we've given up the last vestiges of American sort of management of this critical infrastructure?
Critical infrastructure, you got it. And it's infrastructure that, as the last several years, a couple decades have gone by, has just become more and more and more valuable. And, you know, where we started this conversation talking about unilateral concessions that have been made to Iran, dealing with the president and the way that he has negotiated with Cuba, and now we could talk about it as it relates to the internet. It'd be hard to find anything that would really be worth the value of the internet to be just unilaterally dispensing with all of that leverage and this key asset. For one, is foolish in what we could have potentially gained, but more important than that is what we have to lose by losing that control. And there's a national security component. There's an economic component. I don't want to see Iran and Russia and China and North Korea gaining any type of leverage whatsoever over critical infrastructure that we desperately rely on as a nation, American companies and American individuals. It impacts all of our way of life, our quality of life, and as I mentioned, our economy as well.
Congressman Lee Zeldin, we are out of time. I know you've got other things to do. Thank you so much for sharing some of that time with us today, and I hope you'll do so again soon. Next up, Gordon Chang joins us. That and more straight ahead.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.